Hallelujah. Today's scripture reading is Luke chapter 6, verse 3 to 11. Luke chapter 6, verse 3 to 11. I like to read. Oh, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrections. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again, death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of God. Today's title is The Life of One Who is Truly Resurrected. The Life of One Who is Truly Resurrected. Every year at Easter, we proclaim that Jesus has conquered the power of death and has risen. And simultaneously, we confess that we too have come to life again together with Jesus. However, the question is, does our daily life truly align with that confession? Is likely not a thought unique to me alone. I wish to seek the answer to this question together with you in today's scripture passage. In verse 4 of today's text, Paul states the following. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. We too might walk in newness of life. The scriptures clearly state that the reason we have been made to participate in the Christ's resurrection is so that we may live a new life, a life given by Jesus. To live a new life, the newness life, meaning to live a life in Jesus Christ. There is life lived outside of Jesus. Such a life is one lived amidst sin and death with the devil as its master. However, a life lived in Jesus is not the life of the old self, dead in trespass and sins, but rather a life in which one receives the Spirit of God, lives in accordance with God's word, performs the deed that the priest God, and lives in life God desires in alignment with his will. Despite this, why do we often fail to live within this new life of the resurrections? It is because our outward man, the flesh, has not yet truly died. As the Apostle Paul confessed, while our inner man welcomed God's law and the desire to live by it, our outward man seeks to keep us bound under the law of sin and death. Consequently, the inner man is often overpowered by the outer self, outward man, and is continually dragged toward death. Yet, amidst the anguish he felt over this internal struggle between the two selves, Paul came to a profound realization, the law of the Spirit present within the new life we have received overcomes the law of the sin and death, thereby liberating us from our wretchedness. See, you can see Romans chapter 7 in its entirety, and Romans chapter 8 verse 1 and 2. This law of the Spirit, which enabled us to enjoy a new life in Jesus, is in essence the very power of the resurrection that has conquered sin and death. Amen. Undeniably, we ourselves cannot conquer sin and death. We cannot, by our own strength, prevent our outward man, from acting as our master. However, if we live within this new life, the power of resurrection inheritance in that new life enables us to triumph. God has granted us by imparting the Spirit of the Father who raised Jesus from the dead, the very same resurrection power that the Lord himself received. According to the Ephesians chapter 1 verse 19, Scripture said, "And what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might." Amen. What remains for us to do is to truly believe this and to secure victory in the ongoing struggle against our outward man, that part of us which constantly attempts to drag us back into the bondage of sin and death. The resurrection signifies a complete liberation, both spiritual and physical, from the dominion of sin and death. Yes, this is not merely a theoretical declaration. It is a power that is meant to be my power. The reason many believers fail to experience this is that, while they may intellectually acknowledge the historical fact of the Jesus resurrection, they have not yet personally experienced that the resurrection power actively at work in their own daily lives. To experience this, we must daily strike the outward man with the word. It is not we who strike, but we who fight by the power of the Lord's resurrections. It is a spiritual battle because our lack of faith, and so that the Lord's power does not depart from us, we must equip ourselves every day with the word and the prayer. If we desire to live the resurrected life that God desires, the Lord has told us that we must put to death on the cross the old self that resides within us, doing so every single day. According to the Luke chapter 9 verse 23, Jesus talked to us. He was saying to them all, "If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Thus, the Apostle Paul declared, according to the 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31, I die daily. Resurrection and likewise death on the cross is not a one-time event. It requires the daily act of putting to death our flawed, sinful self. This truly is what should be our source of boasting. The boast of those in whom this power of resurrection is actively at work is this. According to the Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Amen. Although we may not yet have achieved complete victory, we can make this claim because day by day we are engaged in the work of defeating one by one the fleshly desires within us, overcoming them through faith and the word in Christ. Therefore, the Apostle Paul wrote, according to the 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For this reason, the outward man grows weaker, while the inner man ultimately prevails, a reality that is taking place right here among us. Amen. Over the past three sessions, we examined the wrestling match between God and Jacob at the Jephthah River. Through it, we witnessed that the death of his old self, Jacob, and his rebirth as a new self, Israel. In this event, we are able to clearly discern a foreshadowing of resurrections. By striking him on the hip socket, God caused him to walk with a limp for the rest of his life. Yet, through his limp, a daily reminder of the fading away of his outer man, he came to live a life in which he would never again revert to the former self. Above all, he experienced the miracle of the beholding the face of God and yet not dying. This was because the old Jacob, the outer man who had been dragged along by sin and death, had died, and he had been transformed into a new man, Israel, one who clings solely to God and delight in his law. And because he could never forget the punir, the place where the new life was born, it was from there that the life of one who had seen the face of God began. It was there that Jacob received the power of the resurrections. Before his eyes, he saw Esau approaching him, accompanied by a company of 400 men. Yet he was no longer a man living in the grips of the fear of death. He stepped forward boldly to meet Esau. Jacob was astonished by Esau's unexpected reaction. It was this, according to the Genesis chapter 33, verse 4, then Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. This happened because God had extended his grace to Esau and transformed his heart. However, even more astonishing than Esau's action were the words Jacob spoke to him. Let's look at the Genesis chapter 33, verse 10, the end part. I see your face as one sees the face of God. He had discovered the face of God in the very face of Esau, the man he had once regarded as an enemy. After all, were they not twins? Whether they were identical or fraternal, we cannot say for certain, yet undoubtedly they must have borne a striking resemblance to one another. Yet, Esau's face, Jacob did not see merely a reflection of his own outward appearance. Rather, he saw the very likeness of God. How could such a thing be possible? It was because Jacob, having already beheld the face of God at the punir, had undergone a complete transformation in his perspective. The power of the resurrection he had received now enabled him to discern the image of God even in the face of his brother, a man who had once appeared to him as an enemy. This was because he had come to realize that God was at work even in Esau, the very man who had regarded him as an adversary, and his heart was filled with the desire that his brother too might experience the death of the old self and the birth of the new self, thereby becoming a recipient of God's love just as he himself had. Thus, the one who received the power of the resurrection and walks in newness of life becomes, in essence, one who possesses the very heart of God. Let's look at the Ephesians chapter 4:32. Is of the Apostle Paul talk to us. Be kind to one another, tender heart, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Amen. Consider the life of Joseph. Driven by the envy and the jealousy of his brothers, he was pushed to the very brink of death. Through the intervention of Reuben and Jacob, he was sold into slavery in Egypt. There, he was unjustly imprisoned after being falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. The hardships that he endured were beyond descriptions. Yet, wherever he went, God was with him. Hallelujah. According to the Acts chapter 7, verse 9 to 10, the scripture said, and yet God was with him and rescued him from all his afflictions. However, what is truly remarkable is the fact that throughout all these trials, Joseph never harbored an evil heart. He interpreted everything that happened to him as God's providence. This was because he had personally experienced God's transforming every place of death into a place of life, and every place of despair and betrayal into a place of hope and faith. This, indeed, is the result of Joseph having experienced the power of the resurrections. When a 7 years of famine struck Canaan, Joseph encountered his brother who has come seeking food. Although they did not recognize Joseph, he recognized them. When the moment finally arrived for him to reveal his true identity, Joseph's the brothers trembled in fear. Then Joseph said, according to the Genesis chapter 45, verse 7 to 8, God sent me before you to preserve for your remnant in the earth and to keep you alive by a great deliverance. Now, therefore, it was not you who sent me here, but God. Hallelujah. Having experienced the power of the resurrection, Joseph regarded his entire life as an unfolding of God's providence. He realized that even behind the actions of his brothers who had envied him and sought to kill him, lay a place within God's grand plan. He acknowledged that God had purposed even for those he might have considered his enemies. And he knew how to surrender all his own emotions and feelings to God's will. Is this not truly the very image of one who has been resurrected? Nevertheless, his brothers remained afraid of Joseph. They lived in constant anxiety, fearing that once Jacob died, Joseph might seek to harm them. Consequently, they confided their fears to Jacob and obtained a final instruction from him. Then after Jacob passed away, they conveyed their father's dying wish. Please forgive, I beg you, the transgression of your brothers and their sin, for they did you wrong. Joseph replied in the Genesis chapter 50, verse 90 to 20, Joseph said to them, Do not be afraid, for am I in God's place? And as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive. This precisely is the attitude of one who has been resurrected. It is the act of declaring to those who sought to harm him, God turning into good. Hallelujah. Having experienced the power of resurrection, Joseph harbored no grudges. He did not seek revenge. This was because amidst all the suffering he endured, he perceived God's benevolent providence, God's mighty power at work. And those who heard this word of comfort from Joseph testified that they were overwhelmed by a grace so profound it felt as though their heart would burst. You can find at the Genesis chapter 50, verse 21. Through those who have experienced resurrection, God enabled others to encounter his grace and drew them into unity with himself. According to the Psalm chapter 8, verse 28, God caused all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Hallelujah. Jesus not only forgave us, but also gave his very life for us. What were the very first words the Lord spoke from the cross? According to the Luke chapter 23, verse 34, Jesus was saying, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. The Lord prayed, Father, forgive them, referring to those who were nailing him to the cross, those who were mocking him, and even the disciples who had abandoned him. What made this possible? It was because they too were individuals who stood in need of forgiveness and who were destined to receive salvation through God's divine providence. After his resurrection, which disciples did Jesus seek out first? It was Peter, the very one who had denied him three times. The Lord did not say to Peter, who had denied him, you are no longer my disciple. Instead, he went to find him. This is the forgiveness of resurrections. Furthermore, in John chapter 21, Jesus asked Peter three times, do you love me? And allowed Peter to make a threefold confession of love, thereby redeeming the three times he had denied him. Through this, Peter was truly able to embrace the reality of resurrections. For those who have experienced the Lord's resurrection, forgiveness is not merely an optional act of pardon. It is the very identity of one who has experienced the resurrections. Let's look at the Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. Bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. The reason we must forgive one another is precisely because the Lord forgave you. We are those who have been forgiven. For a forgiven person to refuse to forgive others is a contradiction in terms. Loving one's enemy is the proof of my own resurrection. Amen. According to the Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, Jesus said, "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." This is a command that is utterly impossible to carry out if one is bound by the mindset of the world. Loving one's enemies and praying for those who persecute you is something that the dead cannot do. It is possible only for those who live by the life of the resurrections. When Peter asked Jesus, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus' answer was, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven." Infinite forgiveness becomes the hallmark of the lives of those who had been resurrected. To set limit on our forgiveness is to bear witness that we still dwell within the old self. In the life of the resurrection, infinite forgiveness is possible. I begin by offering my prayer that this is very life of resurrection may unfold daily in the lives of us who believe in Jesus. Those who have experienced the resurrection are those who, out of love, cover over all fault. According to the Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all transgressions. The scripture tells us that if we cover over the faults of others, we become love who are loved. According to the Proverbs chapter 17, verse 9, he who covers a transgression seek love, but he who repeat a matter separate intimate friends. That is why Peter exhorted us to love one another deeply. Let's look at the 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. Peter talked to us, "Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins." Amen. Beloved saints, every year as we celebrate Easter, we proclaim Jesus has risen. However, if that declaration fails to transform our lives, it remains nothing more than a mere religious ritual. Jacob encountered God at the Jephthah Ford and was transformed. His name was changed to Israel, his character was transformed, and his relationships were restored. In the face of his brother Esau, whom he had regarded as an enemy, he saw the very face of God. When Joseph met the brothers who had sold him into slavery, he confessed that God turned it into good. He harbored no grudges and sought no vengeance. On the contrary, he even cared for their children. On the cross, Jesus prayed for those who were nailing him there, saying, "Father, forgive them." And after his resurrection, he sought out Peter, who had denied him, and revealed to him the true meaning of resurrections. This is the true likeness of one who has been resurrected. Now we too must follow the path of resurrection just as they did. Only then can the resurrection become a source of power within us, enabling us to walk the path of transformations. We must begin by forgiving the small things occurring around us and praying for those involved we must share the power of the Lord's resurrection that we ourselves have experienced. Like Jacob, we too must cling to God and plead for our lives, recognizing that we can no longer go on living in our old selves. We must wrestle with all our might. Let's open your Bible and we read together and we finish. Please open your Bible, Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 to 11. Did you find that? I'd like to read for you. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Amen. Paul sought to know the power of Christ's resurrection. He desired not merely to know it intellectually, but to experience it through his very life, yearning earnestly for the Lord's resurrection to become his own. He desired to share in all the sufferings the Lord endures. I pray in the name of the Lord that this Easter, the Easter of 2026, may be a time when each of us truly receives the power of the resurrections. Amen. Let us pray together. We give you thanks, O Lord, for helping us realize why, despite having participated in countless Easter service throughout our lives, your resurrection has not yet truly become our own. We cannot help but confess our deep discouragement, for while we know intellectually what it is that you desire, we found ourselves repeatedly doing the very things you do not desire. As the Apostle Paul confessed in his epistle to the Philippians, we desire always to know the Lord, to grasp the power of his resurrection, to share in the sufferings he endured, to die with him, and ultimately to rise again with him. We have come to understand that the true resurrection cannot be experienced unless our outer man dies daily upon the Lord's cross. Please break down our rich ego, our stubbornness, our self-reliance, and our pride, and transform us into people who cling solely to you, our Father. Now that we have received the glorious light of knowing the Father's face through your word and through faith in Jesus, grant us the power of the resurrection and the ability to demonstrate God's love so that we may come to see the very image of God reflected in the face of all those around us. To those who have not yet experienced this power of the resurrection, enable us to be the first to reach out our hand, pouring out upon them the Father's forgiveness and the power, and grant that this precious work in which all are united in Jesus to bring about good may unfold among all who belong to our Love First Church. As we offer up all these prayer and petitions, we have prayed earnestly in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.